Welcome to Switzerland in Sound, produced and presented by Bob Zanotti.
You mentioned the name Albert Einstein, and probably many people, if not most, will connect that to Princeton University in New Jersey in the United States. Well, being originally from New Jersey, I don't mind. I'm proud of my home state. But also being Swiss, I would like to set the record straight, because Albert Einstein was also a Swiss citizen. And what may not be so evident and clear is that some of the most important work he did in relativity, developing the so-called special theory of relativity, was done right here where I'm sitting, not in this room, but in this city. It is the Swiss capital, Bern. And we have the privilege, and it's been a while, Dr. Alan Held, physicist, mathematician, philosopher, and also Einsteinian, to use that expression. Einstein has been your passion for many years. Alan Held is a specialist in Einstein. And you just retired recently from the University of Bern, where you taught and worked since 1973. Yes. You've been in Switzerland a long time. You also married a Swiss woman, and you call this home. Why Switzerland? What brought you over here from your native Canada, from Montreal? And what made you stay here all this time?
Oh, well, that was easy. I was offered a job here, and I came, which is the best reason for coming. And once I got here, and the job turned permanent, I decided that was fine with me, because after several years, I decided that there was nobody that could offer me a job for which I would leave. I was really quite happy here.
And it was a good institution to work for, the University of Bern?
Yes, yes. We were very privileged in the sense that we were not under the publisher perish syndrome. People left us to do at our own thinking and do as we wanted.
It sounds a bit like the old school of academia.
Most probably.
The ETH, as it's called, the German letters, or in English, the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology. There are two of them. There's one in Zurich and there's one in Lausanne. They're specialized in different fields. But our old friend Albert Einstein taught in Zurich and taught in your institution in Bern. He spent important years of his life here in the Swiss capital.
Yes, in fact, probably maybe the most productive years of his life were actually spent here working in the patent office, the famous patent office, where he was able to do his own thinking without having duties other than what for him were certainly simple duties of looking at people's patents and saying, no, this perpetual machine doesn't work.
But it was a bit of fun for him, I understand. He would get his mind focused on this and try to find out the essence of the idea, to sort of mentally take it apart, which seemed certainly in keeping with character.
I suspect he did that with everything. He asked himself questions.
He asked the question, why? Why, and how does this work? Like a child.
Probably his most famous question he asked himself was, well, what would happen if I were traveling at the speed of light? And the answer led to, well, what we call relativity.
And that was formulated right here in Bern. But there are two theories of relativity, Alan. Yeah. One is called the special theory of relativity. That's what made Einstein famous, certainly this connection to Bern. And the other one is the so-called general theory of relativity. They're not the same. What is the essential difference?
Okay, the essential difference is really, one is a geometrical theory and the other is not. In the first theory, he had all the experiments were available. People knew there was something going on. The equations were available. And it just lacked an Einstein to put it all together and to realize that the problem was that time did not move at a constant rate in all frames of references, as he called it.
Time was not a constant value in the universe, as some people thought.
That's right. It was assumed that time went at the same rate no matter where you were, which is more important, no matter how fast you were moving. And he was able to show that all these seeming contradictions could be put together if you assumed that, well, time was not constant. A clock running, say, in a rocket ship going to the moon would not run at the same rate as a clock sitting on the Earth.
This has actually been proved since, hasn't it?
Oh, yes, it's been proved. There's no question of this sort of thing. Now, special relativity has been proven thousands upon thousands of times. Every time an experiment is done, unfortunately, every time an atomic bomb goes off, it's a proof of special relativity as well.
That famous equation, E equals mc squared, energy is equal to mass multiplied by the square of light. Yes. Now, it seems very simple, but it's absolutely genial, if you consider it, and way beyond most of us to understand. Do even mathematicians have difficulty understanding the concept behind it?
Yeah, it's really not that difficult a thing to understand once you see the mathematics.
There's more behind it than just that simple equation.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the equation comes out when you understand how special relativity works, how you describe things in this four-dimensional world. That's important.
Fourth dimension being time.
Until then, the world was basically three-dimensional plus one, so to speak, but they weren't interconnected. And he showed that they really were interconnected, and that when you moved in a different frame of reference, you actually mixed the time and the space coordinates. And when you understand the mathematics of this, it turns out that this E equals mc squared just pops out. And then you have to interpret it, of course. You have to say, well, is this possible? And he said, yes, it's possible.
I think immediately of the ongoing experiments and the great work that's being done at CERN, for example, the Center for European Particle Research in Geneva. Mm-hmm. They're doing this all the time, really. They're proving this. And every new experiment seems to add to the long list of proofs that this works.
Yeah, well, nobody even worries about that anymore. The only people who worry about that are people who think that they've made a discovery that it's wrong and are going to get the Nobel Prize by return mail. They're not going to.
They're trying to prove Einstein wrong, yes. And they can't.
Yeah. Einstein is a symbol of science. And not only that, one of the things that caught the public attention was that you could say things that were going to happen according to special relativity, which were against your physical intuition. For instance, the famous twin paradox, where one twin gets in the rocket ship and goes off for a couple of years in his ship at near the speed of light. When he comes back, his twin is long dead. And the world has changed. He's gone for maybe 100 or 150 years.
And the space traveler comes back as a young man.
That's right. He has hardly aged at all, where the world around him has aged maybe centuries or hundreds of years. And this goes counter to our physical intuition. And this made Einstein a sort of a target for people to say, this can't be right. And so people spend a lot of time trying to prove him wrong. But it's been proven so often now with experiments that nobody in the field even gives it a second thought.
The basics of the special theory of relativity, the one that made Einstein great and famous. But what about the other one, the general theory? How does that compare?
Well, the general theory is a tremendous intellectual leap. It may or may not have been done by somebody else, but there's a good chance it would have taken about 50 years probably, because it may be the deepest thought that's ever been produced by mankind. That's, of course, a personal prejudice. There you have an interaction between the gravitational field and the geometry of space. The only effect that we have really available in the solar system is the orbit of Mercury, which, according to Newtonian physics, should be a little bit different than it is. Very, very small amount. And this was the open question. And Einstein showed that under his theory, this could be explained. One of the things that happens in the general theory is that time moves at a different rate in gravitational fields, in heavy gravitational fields, for instance. Now, in order to visualize this, you have to be either in the neighborhood of the sun or you have to be talking about stars. But that's a different time effect to the effect that we were talking about in special relativity.
If we can put it this way, which of the theories is considered valid today? Is it only the special theory?
Okay. There's a big problem in modern physics. There are two major theories of the 20th century now, and one is quantum mechanics and the other is the general theory of relativity. And as far as one can see in their own areas, both are proper. That is, if you talk about the universe and heavy masses, the general relativity is agreed upon, let's say. The most accurate measurement in physics today is from general relativity. It has to do with something called the binary pulsar, which is radiating energy according to the theory of Einstein.
This is one of these stars, which is very reliable and very precise, and also very powerful.
Yeah, it's two stars rotating around each other, and the period is actually picking up speed as it loses energy. And there's a theory, an equation of Einstein called the quadrupole formula, which tells you how much energy should be lost, and that seems to work to 10, 12 decimal places now. I don't know how many they're up to. On the other hand, it would seem in the area of the very, very, very small, the two theories don't agree. That is, you can't, at the moment, quantize general relativity. And yet it's clear that quantum theory also works. We have also many, many experiments. I mean, nobody doubts quantum mechanics. It may not be a complete theory, but as it stands now, it works. The problem is to reconcile these two theories. And at the moment, this is, to many people, the major problem facing physics today. And somehow, they have to combine to give one theory. But take Newton's theory. Newton's theory is valid for all intentional purposes. And the same with general relativity. For all intents and purposes that we know, it's valid. It's only when you get into this area of very, very small distances and very, very strong forces that something is not quite right and that the two theories can't be reconciled.
Let's look a little bit at Albert Einstein, the man, before we get lost in all the theory, which is not easy for most of us to understand. Did he like it here? Did he say much about it?
He claims that the happiest days of his life were spent here. Now, this, of course, appears in a book on Einstein in Bern. But it probably has a degree of truth in it. He was under no great pressure here because his job in the patent office was not an intellectual challenge particularly. He probably made one out of it, but for him it was nothing. And it enabled him to work on what he wanted to, not have to worry about classes too much, not have to worry about producing papers. And the result was a Nobel Prize.
Living just up the street from the famous bear pit, the Badegrabe in local dialect, I think Einstein was a visitor down there. He's found it amusing to watch the bears and brought some of his visitors down there too.
Well, as I understand it, he would bring them down and they would look at the bears, and every so often a bear would look up at them and Einstein would say, "Hey, that bear is thinking."
Not with the head down like all the rest. That one's an individual is doing some of his own thinking. Relativity touches on a number of things. It's not simply mathematics. It's also physics. It's astrophysics. It's quantum physics. It's philosophy as well.
Yes. In fact, there was even a movement in art, I think, that was sort of based on relativity at the time. It's because of this idea that it upset a lot of what people intuitively thought to be true.
Dr. Alan Held, a retired instructor at the University of Bern, where Albert Einstein also worked. He lived in the city, the Swiss capital, where he originated his special theory of relativity.
Hi, I'm Peter Anthony Holder, and I would like you to join me for a very eclectic and different kind of radio show. It's called the Stuff File Program. Where else would you get to hear a well-renowned Hollywood acting teacher, a best-selling science fiction writer, a guy who teaches llamas how to be golf caddies, or the man who has Hitler's toilet, all wrapped up with some of the oddest news stories around? It's a rhetorical question. There's only one place. The Stuff File Program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. There are various ways to catch the show. You can find it at my website at peteranthonyholder.com. Check out my blog at peteranthonyholder.blogspot.com. Find it at cyberstationusa.com, radioforall.net, or simply subscribe to it on iTunes. You've forgotten all those places already, haven't you? Okay, just Google the title. It's called The Stuff File Program, and stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H. Catch it, enjoy it, and have a chuckle or two. The Stuff File Program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. Radio will never be the same again.
Call the PCJ answer line at country code 44-20-3286-1399. That's country code 44-20-3286-1399 and leave your comments and questions. On shortwave, satellite, and the internet, this is PCJ Radio. In addition to the newly produced material offered on the website and here on PCJ Media, we also feature some old vintage reports and features from the pre-Switzerland in Sound days. The information they contain may no longer be valid or up to date, but we present this material as a sound document for your listening pleasure. Here is one of those vintage items.
Here in Switzerland, there are between 7 and 8,000 blind or severely visually handicapped people. 80 to 90,000 more have some form of visual impairment that makes it difficult for them to use modern technological tools like the personal computer. Modern computers and software have become highly visual, but this does not mean that they can't be adapted to the needs of the visually impaired. This was the theme at a recent exhibition in the city of Biel. It was sponsored by the Swiss Federation of the Blind and attracted a number of companies and organizations specialized in this field. Arnold Schneider is the Secretary General of the Swiss Federation of the Blind. He's totally sightless himself, but considers the personal computer an essential part of his professional and private life.
I think there are two aspects. One aspect is that the computer is a tool which is used at nearly every workplace. And so it's very important that blind people are also able to use this tool. On the other hand, the computer is an access method to information. So with the computer and the appropriate access technology, they can access books with scanners, and they can access newspapers through internet, and they can access CD-ROMs and so on. So they have access to a lot of information which was not available before the computer was there.
Arnold Schneider, Secretary General of the Swiss Federation of the Blind. Irma Schick may be totally blind, but she demonstrated a very special kind of vision when a few years ago she decided to start computer courses for the visually impaired here in Bern. At the time, the personal computer was considered by many to be a mainly visual tool unsuitable for the blind. Irma Schick took up the challenge and was among the first blind people in Switzerland to master the computer and actually use it in her work as a secretary and translator. We have to get used to that computer voice a little bit, but it's amazing. You sat at the computer just a moment ago, Mrs. Schick, and you put this in on the keyboard, and out came the words that you would put in. What happened here? What's going on? What is this system?
The system is a normal computer, as you buy as well if you are a normally sighted person. It's a computer with a normal keyboard and also a normal monitor. But I have, with this normal computer, a braille line underneath my keyboard.
Yes, it looks like sort of a support or a base that goes underneath the regular computer keyboard.
Yes, just under the keyboard. And with my hands, I can read all what I have written, every line for line. I can read the whole monitor this way. I write with a normal keyboard and I read what I have written on this braille line.
And then we have the added dimension now of the synthesized computer voice, so you have that option to listen to exactly what you have written.
Yes, I have a braille line and I have the synthetic voice, so I have two possibilities of controlling my work.
Now, let's just look at the computer screen. I noticed there were a couple of other people, your husband for example. Your husband is visually impaired, but he can read the screen.
Yes.
If he goes very close, and the actual text, the characters are very large. I think the Windows 95 program, the Word program especially, already allows you to use special characters for the visually impaired.
Yes, it allows it to enlarge the letters on the screen.
You say that you are working as a secretary and a translator. That implies that once you master this technique, you can work pretty fast.
Yes, as fast as everybody else.
How many students do you have, let's say, in an average year?
I don't have classes. I have
so one. It's individual.
Student. Yes, individual. And I would say I have in the year 25 students.
Are there any limitations to using a computer for the visually impaired, or can you use a computer like internet, for example, and other programs like anyone else?
Yes, like anyone else. Internet, I'm doing internet as well. I'm writing my text. I'm also reading with my computer. I put on a scanner, and so I can read my post. What's coming in every day.
So the computer reads it for you, and you
yes.
get it either through the Braille touch keyboard or through the speaker.
Yes. I think for the people who can use it and who don't be afraid to use it, I think it's a grand advantage.
In Switzerland, is there any financial support or help for the visually impaired in getting this equipment?
Yes. I must say we are still lucky. In Switzerland, the people who are working, they receive for their work really great financial help for the aids, for Braille lines and such like. But also private person, through institutions, they get help so that nobody must be without computer if they really need one.
Could you get the computer to say goodbye to us?
Yes, I try.
Whatever language you like?
Yes, yes, I try.
This will be German. Auf Wiedersehen und einen guten Tag.
Auf Wiedersehen und einen guten Tag.
Armed with the basic equipment of the kind Irma Sheik just demonstrated, the blind and visually impaired are ready to take on just about anything that modern computers can offer, including the Internet. Although pure graphics are still a problem, the Internet is full of text information and, of course, audio-on-demand services. Jörg Kartemus is a specialist in surfing the net, blind.
SBV Information. Infovision 97 Gastrom Erkblatt. Beratungsstellen. Adressen die EDV Beratungsstelle. Regionalsekretariat Deutschschweiz. Dienstleistungen.
We have here the entry page in German of our Swiss Federation of the Blind. For example, there's an information how you should behave when you meet a blind person in a restaurant, for example. Information about our hotel center in the Berner Oberland. Information about meetings organized by our federation.
Do you find that this page is also accessed by sighted people who are really interested in knowing more about the blind and the visually impaired?
I myself already had contacts from sighted persons which sent me emails, and they came through in this homepage.
Can you in principle retrieve any information from the Internet like this and produce it in a synthesized voice form?
The problem is that there are many homepages which have only graphics, and then you have to click on a graphic. For example, there's a book. When you click on the book, you have a table of contents of this book, but for speech and braille, it is impossible to see this graphic.
So the Internet is really rather user unfriendly if you have some kind of a visual impairment.
It depends on the layout of the web page of each site. You should always have the information of the web page not only in graphic mode but also in text mode, and then it is very well accessible for the blind and visually impaired persons.
But you're not completely cut off from the Internet and the use of computers. You've come a long way already. I understand, for example, that you can even read some Swiss newspapers right off the line. Is that right?
We have a project here in Switzerland, and there are others in Germany as well, where you can load down newspapers from a computer server and load it into your computer and then read it.
Can you download something for us?
Ausgabe vom 5. Dezember 1997.
We have the Blick tabloid paper, and let's hear their top stories now.
Was zum Teufel dürfen wir noch essen? Vorwärts von Karin Müller und Theo Uller zurück. Bernd, ihr redet nie mehr. Ebonger Steak nie mehr. Ochsenmaulsalat. Sehr auf my homepage.
Well, it's an article about people concerned about what they eat, and literally translated, what the devil are we still allowed to eat? Okay, well, it obviously works. So this must have opened a tremendous new dimension. You can actually hear a whole newspaper just being spoken to you.
Yes, it brings possibilities which we did not have yet a few years ago.
That was Jörg Kartemus, an Internet specialist with the Swiss Federation of the Blind. For those who prefer oral aids that don't require a personal computer, there's the Swiss Library for the Blind and Visually Impaired. As the name implies, the library offers a wide range of literature in spoken form. Users can obtain a small player device that's light and very easy to use, and also offers the big advantage of portability. The library's Christian Moily told me more about the service.
We have talking books, we have a braille press, we have games for blind and visual handicapped people.
But I understand, unlike what we've been seeing around here, you don't use synthesized voices, you actually use the human voice, real people reading the texts.
Yes, that's true. it's more comfortable to listen to a human voice.
Could we have a sample of how something sounds? Just choose anything that you have.
Willkommen bei Plextalk. Bitte warten.
And this took the program off a CD-ROM.
Yeah.
Is that the main medium you're using, CD-ROM?
Yes, for this machine we use the CD-ROM, and the voice is digitalized. You can jump from section to section, from sentence to sentence. That's the main idea.
Now, this device is called a Plextor, and it looks like a small, very light, handy little toolbox or something, or a little briefcase that people can carry around very easily. It has buttons, volume control, large controls to make it easy to use. So let's hear that voice quality, how that sounds.
An der kleinasiatischen Küste. Wir finden die Philosophen der vorsokratischen Zeit in Milet, Ephesus, Klazomenai, Kolophon, Samos.
It sounds like a dissertation about the philosophers of ancient Greece. Is that right?
Yes. What is it? Oh, it's, yeah.
Well, there's the CD, exactly. The History of Philosophy. That means that you offer a very wide range of material, not only news and information, but also study materials of all kinds, history, mathematics, maybe?
All kind of range. We have science books and things like that for students, for studying, for school, for work. About 12,000 titles.
And how well used is this library?
We have about 5,500 users right now.
And how is this group supported?
It's almost half by subvention from the state and from people who give us money to do that service for the blind.
Thank you very much.
Willkommen bei Plextalk. Bitte warten.
Le Monde Diplomatique, Nummer 11, November 1996. Ihre Sprecherin ist Anne-Marie Cho. In dieser Ausgabe Rechtswege. Unverändert hat Russland mit enormen wirtschaftlichen und sozialen...
The Spoken Literature Service of the Swiss Library for the Blind and Visually Handicapped. One of the high technology services for the visually handicapped, featured at the recent exhibition in the city of Biel, devoted to electronic and computer aids for the blind.
If you want more information about Switzerland in Sound, check them out online at www.switzerlandinsound.com.